didn't sound very exciting. Nobody had their coffee today, did we? Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. There you go. I know you're alive because I can hear you breathing. It's good to see everyone today. Glad that you're here. We want to welcome those who may be joining us on the radio or hopefully today by live Facebook. We're giving it a go. Rachel, is it working? Okay, I got the nod, so we'll see what happens. But we're glad that you are here with us presently, and those who are joining us online or by the radio, we welcome you as well. Let me briefly call your attention to the back of your order of service. Under the heading, This Week at Murfreesboro Baptist Church, you see several items, several things that are going on. The food bank will be here on Tuesday, the 18th, and volunteers are needed around 1:30 that afternoon. The administrative offices will be closed this Friday and on the 28th. So if you need any assistance, please call Tommy Bird. Outdoor cleanup, the 22nd. Annual ministry fair with covered dish lunch is next week following worship, where you'll have an opportunity to sign up for different teams of ministry. We hope that and encourage you to be looking over the list. There are some other specific sign-up sheets for dates for flowers, worship leader, communion set up, and so forth. On the 30th, that we will have the annual trunk or treat, and you see the information there. You can have hamburgers and hot dogs and all the stuff that goes with that, and we hope that you'll plan to be here as minister to the community, the kids in the area. If you'd like to place flowers, that list is still being developed in the office. You can contact Teresa with that. And we also need volunteers to help set up communion for the first Sunday of November and December. So keep those items in mind. Take this home, put it on your refrigerator. Highlight the things that you need to be a part of, and as a reminder. Okay, again, we're glad that you're here, and we want to move forward now into our time of worship, and I'll invite you to stand as we sing together our choral call to worship, Make Me a Servant, found in hymn number 652. Let us stand together.
Spoken call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged. For I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from the ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Let us pray. Jesus willingly gave up his power, and it was the most beautiful thing the world had ever seen. Grant us the courage to give up our power every day so that we can become humble servants to those that are less fortunate than us. Amen.
Now, the only way I'm going to get she went back to the judge, and she went back to the judge. She kept going back because she was persistent. She wanted her rights. And you know what eventually happened? She got them. The judge got tired of her coming back over and over and over again. He said, I'm going to give her what she wants. And we all hope that one day Charlie Brown's going to kick that football. But we know that if we keep trying, we can get something. And when we want something, if we keep asking God, God doesn't ever want us to give up on Him. And when we want something, we may not get the answer right away, but He wants us to be persistent and continually asking. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for never giving up on us. Let us remember not to give up on you and to be persistent in all we do. In your Son's name, amen.
Thank you, Sarah. Today is a little bit different than most Sundays. Today we are focusing our attention on setting apart one of our number, T.K. Warren, who you have chosen to serve as a deacon. And with that as our backdrop, our theme, if you want to call it a theme or focus for this morning, has to do with service. But before I get into that, you remember, I don't know how long ago it's been, just one Sunday is when I first started visiting with you folks. I told you that I felt like a line from Gettysburg when Longstreet told Lee that he didn't want to go into battle without Pickett because it felt like he was going into conflict with one boot off. And now, I'm not equating my wife to a boot, please understand. But I'm glad my boot is here this morning. So I hope you'll get a chance to speak to her if you've not already done that. She's on the third pew here, looking at me like, don't say anything else. And move on. So I'm glad she's here and excited that she's didn't have to take the trip alone this morning. So that was good too. All right. Our Old Testament reading comes from Joshua chapter 24. I'll be reading verses 14 to 18. And this is right before Joshua's death. And he is making one last appeal to the people, and it is a time when he is challenging the tribes to take a position on what they're going to do in relationship to God. Beginning at verse 14, now therefore revere the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors, the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We want to focus our attention on the time of prayer. We want to remember Colin and Jane Balance, they're a bit under the weather today, so let's pray for them. Phil Royal has been transferred out of the hospital. He's now at Brian Aldridge Rehab Center in Rocky Mount. I spoke to Rosemary Thursday. Actually, I think it was Thursday. I went up to the hospital to see him, and I walked in the room, and the bed was not made. It was just a blue mattress. So I asked the nurses, you know, where he was, and they didn't know. So anyway, I called Rosemary, and she said, she told me where he was. So let's remember him. I went by to see Landon Heller, the young man from Chewan, who had the accident several weeks ago. I did not get to speak to him, but I spent a few minutes talking to Mary Wiles. Did I get that right? Yeah. She's a campus minister. I got to meet her, had a very nice conversation with her. Landon was having had two doctors in there, and she shared with me that he was having a bit of frustration, and so he didn't need to be overwhelmed with both myself and her going in to see him. So I gave her a card and just asked her to tell him I would be by and I'll go back. He's in rehab at ECU Med Center as well. So let's remember these along with other names that are in your order of service on the back page, and we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll lead us. Let us pray. We do offer you thanks today, Father, for your blessings. As we shared last week, many times we don't show our gratitude as we should. Father, we are blessed beyond measure. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the recovery of those for whom we've been praying. And we ask your continued blessing on those who are struggling with in the hospital and in rehab, and the emotional strain that can put, as well as physical pain that it brings. But it's all for the positive. But Lord, when you're in the middle of that, you don't see the positive. So I pray that you will bless these folks as they continue to heal, that you will guide and direct, be with those who give them care, both professionally and as family. Lord, we ask that you bless this congregation as they are in the beginning stages of a journey that, as we shared earlier, has no maps, but God, one that by faith we follow. And Lord, I pray that in your providence you will provide them with an individual who can come and lead them as they write a new chapter of history of this congregation and this community. Lord, we ask you to be with TK today as we set him apart for service. We pray your blessings on him as he assumes this responsibility. Bless the others who are coming on as deacons again who have served prior. We pray that you will bless their ministry as individuals and as a body as they lead this church. Father, thank you for this time of worship. Thank you again for your blessings. Guide and direct us now as we focus our attention on what you would have us hear today. And Lord, as we pray often, may we leave here different than when we came in. In your Son's name we ask it. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is hymn number 648, Stir Your Church, O God, Our Father.
Thank you.
2 Corinthians, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Pray. All things have their origins with you, Lord, and from these riches that we have given, may your church grow in this place and in the community and in the world. Amen.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now you're going to hear a term in this passage that you may or may not be familiar with, and that is the term Hellenists. You may or may not know who the Hellenists were. The Hellenists were Jewish Christians who spoke exclusively Aramaic. They were also Jewish Christians whose mother tongue was Greek. They were the Greek-speaking Jews of the diaspora who returned to settle in Jerusalem. Now remember, Pentecost has happened. Peter has preached. Thousands were saved. The church is just forming. And that's where we pick up our reading today at chapter 6. Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, those are the followers, not anyone who was a follower of Christ is called a disciple. It's not just the 12. The Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distributions of food. And the 12 called together the whole community, disciples, and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Again, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A young man complained to his minister about all the injustice and evil in the world. He blamed God for the whole mess. And he said, "I could make a better world than this myself." So the minister very quietly and calmly said, "Good, go to it." That's exactly what God put you in the world to do. Or to coin a more popular phrase, be the change you wish to see in other people. Be the change you wish to see in other people. Very few responsibilities of the church, especially in Baptist churches primarily, are misunderstood, none of them like the deacon. Hearing the word deacon conjures up all kinds of images in your mind. Some churches, they're the money-hungry or power-crazed group. Some churches, they're the enforcers. You will do this or you won't do that. Some churches, like this congregation, affirm the validity of women in ministry in the diaconate. At Wake Forest University, they're referred to as demons. I thought that would get a chuckle or something. Some would say that deacons form the ruling body of the church. They run the church. And in many churches, that's true. Other churches would say the deacons are the pastor police. He or she answers to them in all matters. They keep their thumb on the pastor in all areas, and or have the final say in church decisions. Suffice it to say that there are churches where the deacons represent authority and discipline. If you get out of line, watch out, here come the deacons. But I suggest that most of those are not biblical examples of the role of the deacon. I've lived, as you know, I grew up in a minister's home, and I've experienced the deacons from the minister's kid side of the deal, and which was one of the reasons why I said I'd never do this. Unfortunately, many congregations don't have a solid understanding of what it means to be a diakonos, a deacon, a servant. An understanding, while the primary charge is servant, servanthood, being here for other people, not as bosses, but to be advisors to the ministers in the congregation, to be examples of good character, dedication, and integrity that others in the church can look to as examples and models of behavior, to be leaders within the congregation, to be supportive of all of the ministries of the church through their time, their finances, and yes, their physical presence. But let's look quickly at this passage that I just read. The church, as I said, was in its infancy, but was growing. The ministers, the apostles, if you will, were trying to do all the work themselves. Now, let me stop right there a second. A lot of ministers types think they're the only ones that can do anything. And most churches will let them. I've come to learn, and Edwin has helped me learn this, I've come to learn that churches don't like preachers to say no. And they'll let a minister do all the stuff he wants to do. And some ministers, their idea of their responsibility is so warped, they think they're supposed to do all of that. And the result is bailout from ministry, burnout from ministry, and you go start to sell cars at the local car dealership. It happens. I've seen it happen. It's happened to friends of mine. We don't take the time to biblically follow what we're supposed to do, because it's too easy for us to do the work ourselves instead of training and enlarging the leadership tent of a local congregation. It takes time to train people. It takes patience. We fall victim to, I can do it myself and move on. I've told her countless times over the years. She'd say, well, why don't you get somebody else to do it? I said, I'd rather just do it myself. I can get it done. I know how I want it done. I'll just do it myself. And churches let you do that, you know, unless you want to do something really weird, bizarre. But you can get started on it, and somebody's going to catch the deacons will come. So what'll happen? But we fall victim to that, don't we? Yet our calling as deacons and ministers is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I would suggest that the equipping component principle also applies to the deacon. Ministry is shared, another principle that congregations need to get a better understanding of. That we advance the cause of Christ when we empower other people to do it and not inhibit others to share in a ministry. When I went to Farmville, I told the leadership folks there, I said, you know, if you come up to me and say, don't you think it would be good if we had a ministry to you fill in the blank? I said, I'm going to say, yeah, that would be great. Find three other people that will work with you and get it started. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. We equip those people. I'm going to tell you a quick story, and we're going to move on. When I was in my second church, western part of the state, I was minister of music, youth, and education. So I was responsible for the adult choir, youth choir, children's choir. So, you know, I decided I was going to recruit some leadership to take over the children's choir role. Because that was, you know, Wednesday nights and, you know, I had everything else going on. So I went about it. Well, I got a call that I needed to attend the deacon's meeting. Dum, da, dum, dum. So I go to the deacon's meeting. I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm, what, late 20s, something like that. And so I'm sitting there, and I have a deacon that starts in on, why aren't you leading the children's choirs? I said, because I'm training other people to do some of these things. I'm trying to equip them for this ministry. Well, we pay you to do that. We pay you to do that. I'm thinking, no, you don't. You pay me to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So I didn't argue. I mean, I was young. Now, if this had happened, 4 years ago, I would have not been so compliant. But I had a plan. The plan was, okay, I'll do it. And when I leave here, your children's choir is going to go flat, your youth choir is going to go flat, the adult choir will probably hang on. So that's exactly what I did. About a year later, I left to go to Southeastern Seminary in 1980, and they lost their children's choir, quit. We have to equip people for the work of the ministry, for it to carry on. Acts 7, verse 7 of chapter 6 of Acts says, the word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem. Why? Because the apostles were no longer encumbered by this internal problem they had. It freed them to give their full energy to the study, teaching, and preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. God doesn't say, work hard and earn your way to heaven. Rather, he gives us heaven as a free gift of grace when we accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, and then expects us to live up to our responsibilities. The challenge today, not only for TK and those returning to the diaconate, but for all of us here, is to live up to our responsibilities as it relates to the work of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means you go to the back of this bulletin right here, and you look down at the ministry fair next week, between now and then, and you prayerfully decide which one of those groups you're going to sign up for. But I don't know anything about it. It's all right. The prerequisite is your willingness to serve. Not that you know everything about what's going on with that particular group. Somebody in that group will help teach you. The point is, we're called to serve. We're called to serve. May his Spirit move each of us toward that end today. Amen. We move now into the portion of the service where we affirm T.K. Warren as a deacon and encourage him. And as we move into that, let me share a few points of our purpose. Brothers and sisters, as I've said, we're all called to salvation. We're all gifted for ministry. We're all sent to engage in that ministry, to follow Christ through the help of the Holy Spirit and to serve others in God's name. The choice to accept that call of salvation, to expend the energy through prayer and exploration to discover our gifts, and the willingness to reset our personal priorities of life to engage in that ministry is ours to decide. Today, TK, you have been set apart by this congregation to assume the yoke of ministry as a deacon to begin this particular ministry of the local community of faith known as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We, as a congregation, do this not as a means of passing on some mystical rite, but rather an affirmation that God has brought you to this point in your journey and pledge to you our prayerful support as you assume this responsibility. At this time, I'll invite you to take your insert and join me as we share responsibly. TK, I invite you to stand here with me, face the congregation. Members of this church family, have you, members of this community, seeking guidance of divine wisdom, chosen this brother who now stands before you to be deacon in our congregation, overseeing the spiritual welfare of our church?
Yes.
Do you wish him to be set apart to shepherd this flock as the deacon served the early church?
We do.
Will you promise to encourage him in all things consistent with the Word of God, aiding him in the discharge of his responsibilities?
We will.
TK, Have you prayerfully considered the responsibilities and obligations which the office you are called to fill carries with it?
I do.
Will you promise that, always seeking divine help, you will faithfully perform the duties of deacons, studiously endeavoring to learn and do the things that will make for peace, purity, and spiritual growth in this congregation? At this time, TK will be seated here, and I will invite you to come and offer him words of encouragement and prayers as we take a few moments to physically affirm him as deacon. Let's start with this section here, so we won't run in. If you'll come by and then circle back around, that way we won't have any congestion, okay? TK. Sit in the chair. You stand. Let us pray together. Father, we come now at the close of this service to pray for those who will be returning to assume the position of deacon for the coming year. And for the one who will begin this journey of ministry, T.K. Warren, we give you thanks for how you have blessed your church, for how you are continuing to build and shape your church, and for giving us the joy today to having set apart T.K. as a new member of the diaconate to serve your church. We would ask that you bless not only T.K., but those who will resume their commitment as deacons of Murfreesboro Baptist Church. May they show true humility and be faithful in their service to you. Remind them of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in fulfilling the ministry you gave him, came to serve rather than be served, who sought the needs of others rather than seeking his own, who ministered to people without prejudice and with courage and determination, who loved people unconditionally. We ask, Lord God, that you fill them with your spiritual love and compassion so that they may see their brothers and sisters as you see them and as they are equipped to carry out the duties that they have been appointed to fulfill. We ask you to bless TK and his family and the families of all who serve in this important ministry of the church. May you fill anew not only TK, whom we've affirmed today as deacon, but all of us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may be hearers and doers of your word, ministers of all people, friends of the poor, voices of the voiceless, and servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for this in the name and glory of your Son, Jesus our Savior. Amen. TK, on behalf of the church, I'd like to present you with certificate of ordination for you. God bless you and be with you as you begin this journey. Remember, it's not just for a year. Yeah. It's for your term and on, because as I've heard preachers say, once you're a deacon, you're always a deacon. Just because you're not an active deacon doesn't make you any less deacon. Okay? All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Will you join me now as we stand together and sing our hymn of commitment? Let me flip to it. Too many papers. It's on the back of your insert. I'm sorry. Serve the Lord with gladness. Join me as we sing together this great hymn. Serve him, his great love proclaim. Thank you for your presence and attention this morning. I want to thank Bob for helping lead worship and the choir, and Paula and Sarah for working with the kids and being here for them today, and for you for being with us, as well as you folks who join us on Facebook and on the radio. I'm going to, beginning next Sunday, do six Sundays on a series called Roadblocks on Your Spiritual Journey. And this will carry us up to, actually, the first Sunday of Advent. So that sounds really close, doesn't it? Yeah. So I hope that you'll be here and share these Sundays as the Lord leads us. Again, thank you for coming. Speak another word to TK before you go, and to each other. You know, it's okay to take a deep breath, turn your head, and hug, you know, if you want to. Or high five, or however, but just, you know, take some time, don't rush out the door. Let us hear now our benediction. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Whenever you go, God is sending you there. Wherever you are, God has placed you there. You have a purpose for being there. Christ, who indwells in you, has something he wants you to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go now in his grace, his peace, and his power. God bless you.